All right, welcome to Healthy You, where we give you the tools to get well, stay well, and live well. I am your host, Dr. Jesse Riggin, doctor of chiropractic and certified sports physician. I want to empower you to change you. Today, we got a great guest with us, Dr. Johnson. He has a PhD in psychology, and he's a Marine Corps veteran and just started a new clinic in Seaford, Delaware. So, Dr. Johnson, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get from being a Marine Corps veteran to a doctor of psychology?
So my doctorate is in clinical psychology, specializations in neuropsychology and forensic psychology. So when I left the Marine Corps, I actually wanted to get into something medical, something technical. So what I did is I went in to become a radiologic technologist, which is just an x-ray tech. Very cool field. Got to learn how to visualize the body through imagery. Went from there, was thinking about becoming a physician assistant. But I took a couple classes of psychology, and that was history. So I said, I'm just going to go get my doctorate, went through my doctorate, and here I am today.
That's great. And, we've talked a few times. I'm a chiropractor. You're in the psychological field, and we talk so much about how those psychological stresses manifest in the physical body. So talk to us a little bit about what you see every day.
Sure. So what I'm going to do is kind of explain, what happens in the brain in simplified terms. It's not this simple, but we'll try to simplify it as best as possible. So whenever stress happens, and it doesn't matter what kind of stress, it could be a car accident. It could be a bunch of micro stressors from work, school, home. Regardless, the body reads that as danger. So what happens is the signals come into the brain. The higher level of thinking in the upper cortex says, hey, this is danger. So then it sends signals to the limbic system, which is the center of the brain and which houses our stress response, or also called the fear response. The limbic system says, hey, upper cortex, we've got this. And then it says hindbrain, which is the hindbrain is our reptilian brain or our most primitive brain and controls mostly body function. It says, hey, get ready. We're in danger. So what happens is that a primitive brain gets ready to react. So usually what we say is the fear stress response has three reactions: fight, flight, or freeze. So the body becomes tense because it needs to either fight or flight. Your blood pressure goes up, pulse goes up, you may start sweating. All this is natural. You need this to survive with the danger response. This is a normal process. However, beings that the brain reads all stress as danger, if you're stressed out constantly, that process is on constantly. And when your body is ready to react constantly, you have a lot of problems that can occur because you're putting the body under a lot of stress. So how that can manifest, if you have too much stress going on in the body, you may have anxiety all the time, which is just constant worry, uncontrollable worry. You may go into having panic attacks, which is, the fear response at its highest level, but uncontrolled. So heart palpitations, you may feel like you have chest pains, can't breathe. And, really interestingly, the body can react different ways when you get up in that higher level of stress, where you can have obsessive compulsive disorder, social anxiety, whichever way your body is more ready to react to having psychological problems from stress all the time. Or it could be something where you had complex trauma when you were a child and you've had stress all your life, so you have some neurodevelopmental issues that have caused problems later on in life with stress syndromes. But to keep it short, constant stress, if you don't take care of it, is going to wreak havoc on the body.
Cool. And I have a couple follow-up questions from that. So something I see every single day in my office is I see people come in and they say, oh, I hold my stress in my shoulders. Oh, I hold my stress in my low back. So when I hear you talking about the limbic system and the reptilian brain, the hindbrain there, is there something in that circuitry that affects our posture and affects the way that we carry ourselves on a daily basis?
Sure. So remember how I talked about how the body gets ready to react. So if you are getting ready to fight or flight, your muscles need to tense a little bit to get ready for that action. Those fast twitch muscles. So you're getting ready to run, just like it is when you're getting ready for a sports event. So you start getting nervous. Well, all that nervousness is stress, and it's just the body getting ready to react again. Your heart rate's going up, so forth and so on. But you figure if you stayed in that state, so let's roll back a little bit. So when you have that stress response in your body, what happens is you have a sympathetic and a parasympathetic response. So that sympathetic response is, again, what I just talked about, the body getting ready. The parasympathetic response is when it turns off. So without getting too deep, if you go in and you have a sports event, you have that nervousness, then the sports event itself is the reaction. After the sports event is when you get really tired and go really down. That's the parasympathetic response because it's turning off the stress response, which is natural. Well, imagine if you stick into that pre-reaction mode, in that nervousness, well, your body never reacts. So what's it going to do? It's the shoulders are going to start tensing up. The back is going to start tensing up because you never allowed the body to do what it wanted to do, and that's react.
So I guess what I'm hearing is that it's kind of a failure to resolve. It's not necessarily the stress response itself. It's the fact that we can't get through, we can't find that resolution to the stressor. So can you kind of talk us through the sequence of events that would happen in a typical healthy stress response?
Sure. So in a typically healthy stress response, I'm going to go to the more primitive fear response. So primitive humans, if they were to be attacked by an animal. So they already instinctually know that this animal is dangerous because of a learned response. They know from prior history that that animal has probably killed one of their relatives or tribesmen. So they saw that, they learned, passed it down, generational. We know that that's danger. So what the brain does is it realizes in some way, subconsciously, just from a learned response, again, when you hear something or see something, oh, this is that danger that we know about. This is that creature. So the sympathetic response turns on, gets the body ready, and you either hide from it, run from it, or fight it. So that is the action sequence. So the getting ready sequence is having the stimulus come in or having the senses come in, the brain realizes it's needs to react, it gets the body ready, so that's the readying action, that's a sympathetic response. Then the action mode, which is going to be you're going to hide from the danger, run from the danger, or fight the danger. Once the danger is over, you've resolved the stress or fear situation, then you go into the natural parasympathetic response where the body relaxes, and it's a natural process because the body is always fighting for balance. It's always fighting for homeostasis, which is just the medical term for basically balance. So you have to, if you've been so high, then you have to go low and then you balance back into the middle. So you resolve that stress response, you go into the parasympathetic response, which you get really tired, and then everything is resolved.
And what I'm thinking right now is in today's day and age, so we're in the season of COVID, there's all kinds of stressors from economic to physical to emotional. There's just a ton of stressors out there, and it's hard to get to that resolution because when one stressor is down, another stressor is up. So how is it that, what do you do how do you help people get through those stresses when there isn't just that one stress that you're dealing with and you can find a resolution? When you're dealing with the stresses of life in America right now, which for some people can just be constant stress.
So I talk about this often when I'm doing training, when I'm doing consultations, supervisions. So what I like to call what you just spoke about are micro stressors. So instead of a one big event, like we talked about before, creature coming, trying to kill us, we resolve, everything's over. We don't have that process now. We're a lot safer. However, we have a whole bunch of micro stressors. So we still have stressors coming in that are telling us in some way we are in danger. So we're still going into the sympathetic response, but we're just hanging there because we can't resolve it. Because like you said, one stress goes and comes and then goes away, and then we have another one. So a whole bunch of micro stressors are not letting the body react. And honestly, we half the time, because we're living in it, don't realize it. So we're not mindful of what's going on inside of ourselves, and don't know the physical cues that we're under stress and the body's under duress. So what we do in my clinic is we have a model that's much different from the normal model of mental health therapy. Because normal mental health therapy, you sit down like we are and you talk back and forth. So you're trying to find the root cause of that stress, because it may go really deep, may go childhood deep. However, when the limbic system is basically in control, when the reptilian brain is active, the executive function and the upper cortex, which is our highest level of thinking, is kind of sitting to the side. So when you're talking back and forth and doing mental health therapy, that requires that upper cortex to really engage for that therapy to be successful. And I'm going to take it one step forward. In mental health therapy across the board, we're known as having a 60% positive outcome. So that means that 60% of the time, we're going to resolve that person's issues. I don't know about you, but if I went to a surgeon and they said, you have about a 60% chance that your surgery is going to go well, I'm running the other way. So when I was going through schooling, going through treating with neuropsychology, I said, you know, how can I make this better? And I'm going to take it again, one step forward. 60% is the norm. If you have any complexity at all, that goes down. So if you have trauma, forensic issues, addiction issues, all that positive outcome shoots way down. So I sat there and looked, and I looked at normal brain process, and going back to needing that upper level of thinking, that upper cortex thinking, I'm like, there's the problem. You're asking these people to use a part of their brain that's sitting to the side. And I looked at it, and again, this is simplifying the process, but I'm thinking, okay, stress response on, it goes cortex, limbic system, hindbrain. I need to go backwards. Why am I following the stress response when I need to go and hit it where the stress response is happening? So I need to hit the hindbrain and the limbic system about at the same time, but hindbrain first. So what we try to do is we try to relax the body first. So we use different neurophysiological components to relax the body, behavioral therapy to find consistency in the behavior, because we don't want to go into that cognitive therapy or thinking therapy yet, because the, again, upper cortex. So we want to stabilize behavior, relax the stress response. And once we've achieved that, then we can get into upper level of thinking and really resolve the issue. So, you know, often when I'm having conversations with you, you know, I let you know you are one of the mainstays, components, first steps, and what I would consider a good model of resolving the stress response, or we'll say psychological problems with stress, being, you know, anxiety, excessive worry, even getting into OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. You're a prime piece of that puzzle. Medical massage therapy would be a prime piece of that puzzle. Diet, exercise, all those things would be a prime piece of that puzzle. So what we want to do is we start with relaxing the body, going into the limbic system and working on behavior, and finally going into the upper cortex and working on thoughts.
That is absolutely fascinating. So the last podcast that I did, we looked at a piece of research from, I think it was 2015, and they showed that in a few studies, exercise had similar efficacy as psychological therapy and psychological drugs, so pharmaceuticals. Is that kind of getting into a little bit of what you're talking about, or instead of working from the top down, we're kind of working from the bottom up? I guess the question would be, is it possible to change our physical responses first and then allow our mental responses to then kind of follow suit?
Dr. Regan, that's actually a perfect way to explain it, perfect segue. Absolutely. So again, remember when I said the stress response, the body is getting ready to react. So what I like to do, and one of the first components that I do in therapy, is I talk to the individual about exercise. Because if you are ready to react, if I can get them to do something that the body would think as a reaction, then we can turn off the stress response. So the body is wanting to hide, run, or fight. Now, hiding, that's in there because that's part of the stress response, but I consider that either, the freeze response of hiding or being avoidant. So it's not really the healthiest response. The healthiest response would be, probably the fight response. So I always like exercise, especially martial arts, because martial arts has so many components in it that actually deals with my model. And I think, I've actually been a martial artist for 32 years. And I think that's a part of understanding the stress response, going into the military, understanding it even more, and understanding that process of, starting with the hindbrain limbic system and upper cortex, because martial arts actually does that. So you're fighting, so you give it the reaction, and then you do behavioral, because you're learning discipline. And then you're learning better ways to live, so which is the thought process. So exercise is really, really important because you're giving the brain and the limbic system what it wants. It wants reaction. So that is a prime component of what I'm talking about in my model. And not only that, to add into your research, exercise builds stress robustness. So what that means is the body can take more stress. You're building resilience. And that's also what you want to do. So when you come to my clinic, not only do we want to bring you to neutral, but we want to bring you above neutral. We want to give you more. We want to find potential. So with that, I want to give you more resilience, more stress robustness. So that is part of the model as well.
That's excellent. And I'm sure there's some people out there asking right now, how do I get myself seen by Dr. Johnson? So why don't you just tell us how we can contact you and if we need your services?
So my company is named Compass Mental Wellness Services. Our number is 302-841-0632. Our address is 1310 Bridgeville Highway, Seaford, Delaware, 19973. Our website is www.cmwsllc.com. The email is going to be cmwsllc@gmail.com. And our motto is, we will help you find your way.
All right, Healthy Nation, thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you got something out of that you can put into practice this week. Remember, this is a two-part interview, so Dr. Johnson's going to be coming back with us next week, giving us some more details about some exciting stuff that he's doing in his office. And this is Healthy You, where we give you the tools to get well, stay well, and live well. Have a great week and stay grateful.